So the same fundamental attitude. You have an empire. It doesn't matter whether it's good or bad. It is a reality and a fact. Deal with that fact. That is put into the voices of both Cleon and Pericles. And I think this dramatically illustrates the fact that Thucydides was finally quite unconcerned about broader questions of morality in the political realm. There is a central dictum, if you will, that sums this up, one of these axioms that I've been talking about, when at one point in the Melian dialogue, the Athenians turn to the Melians, who they are forcing to become their allies under threat of death, and the Athenians simply say to the Melians, "The strong do what they will, the weak suffer what they must." There is no morality in political affairs. It is as if the Athenians are driven to acquire more power and are forced almost by a law of history to try to get more, to increase their empire. Now, this process of growth, of inexorable growth and imperial domination, clearly fascinated Thucydides. That was the Athens he'd grown up with and the Athens that he had seen. But it was also a process which finally led to the Athenians undertaking the Sicilian expedition, which would be a crushing disaster. And so Thucydides, in turning his attention to this, was not only describing a significant affair in the Peloponnesian War, but was also trying to understand the underlying laws of history that lay behind the Athenian decision to go to Sicily and the Athenian debacle once they got there. We see these laws of history woven all the way through his account. So, for example, the people of Egesta approached the Athenians asking them for help. This exemplifies the Thucydidean dictum that the weak need the help of the strong and actually invite the domination of those who come to be their imperial masters. So Athens doesn't just decide to go to Egesta or to Sicily, the Egestians invite them in. Even more typical of the way Thucydides views history is the fact that he juxtaposes a supposed reason with a true underlying reason in the decision to go to Sicily. The Athenians apparently go to Sicily because the Egestians are their relatives. They appeal to what the Greeks call syngenēia, where blood cousins. But for Thucydides, that is merely a pretext. And what really underlies the Athenian decision is the fact that they have seen a great deal of gold while their ambassadors are in Egesta, and they are convinced that if they go, they will be able to conquer a territory which will overnight make them twice as rich and powerful. It is an attempt in one blow to double the size of their empire. So these are the kinds of laws of history that Thucydides sees operating generally and specifically here. There's another side of Thucydides, however. We've talked about him as a scientific historian, but he's also an artist. All historians must face the question, how do you shape the events of history in order to create a story with a structure and a shape to it? And as a literary artist, what I think he's doing with the Sicilian expedition is drawing on other genre, which as a Greek of the 5th century he's familiar with. Namely, he sees it as a kind of tragedy, as a drama, a psychological drama, if you will, where there is a conflict, an argon, this time not between Helen and Hecuba, or between Antigone and Creon, but rather between Nicias and Alcibiades. These are the two actors in this tragedy of Athens. Nicias, on the one hand, is the voice of reason. He has common sense and sober judgment, and his advice actually echoes at various points the words of Pericles when he says that the Athenians should not try to acquire a second empire before they've actually secured their first. So that very idea implanted at the beginning of the narrative with Pericles is now being restated with Nicias in Book 5. On the other hand, there's Alcibiades. He's ambitious for command. He's young. He's attractive, but he's a little bit dangerous as well. His position among the people, says Thucydides, led him to indulge his tastes beyond his means. So he's a fast-living millionaire. And he represents, in a sense, the spirit of Athens unrestrained, doing too much, biting off more than he can chew. So when there's no restraining influence of a leader, this is what the Athenians could become. And it is a dangerous, destructive tendency. Although, in fact, because of the actual conditions of history and events in history, Alcibiades did not make it to Sicily. Just before the expedition was due to leave, there was a religious crime committed in Athens as somebody went around mutilating some of the statues on the edges of the marketplace. It was rumoured that Alcibiades and some of his friends had been involved in this, as well as in performing a profane version of the mysteries, and so he was meant to be put on trial. In fact, the trial was postponed, but Alcibiades knew that if he actually left Athens, his enemies then would call the trial, he would be found guilty in absentia, and so caught between this rock and a hard place, he left Athens and eventually spent much of the war fighting on the side of the Spartans.